this place is going to be crowded. Now, what happens if just half of you get real excited, real aggressive, and win two souls to Jesus Christ this year? You're going to have to go to two services. If you get really on fire for God and really believe what He said about us all doing the Great Commission and decide to get really on fire and win one soul a month, guess what? You're in that new building program you're already talking about. This building's history. And you're going to turn West Florida upside down for Jesus Christ. Because if you're winning that many people to Jesus, it's going to go a long way. The choice is yours. I want to tell you how God has been moving in Guatemala. I won't be long. I like what I heard Brother Rayleigh say at the camp meeting. He said, in closing, he said, "What's that mean?" Everybody says, "Nothing." He was right. He'd go for another hour or so. That's not me. I'd like to try that a time or two, but anyway. I believe that God has sent us to Guatemala, or I sure wouldn't be going there. Because I like comfortable United States too. I've got a house with air conditioning. I've got property. I've got kids. I've got a grandson. You know, who wants to leave their grandkids behind? Not me. But you know what? I want to be obedient to my Heavenly Father, and that's more important. And He's called me. I know I'll see my grandson in heaven if I never get to see him again on this side. I'll get to see him over there. I'll get to see him forever and ever and ever. That's all that matters. Being obedient to my King right now. God has done such tremendous things. He's called us to win souls. He's called us, you see, it says, to go into all the world and take the gospel. You preach the gospel. But also, it also says, go and make disciples of all nations. It's more than just getting them to sign a decision card. That is so weak. That is so watered down gospel. I can't believe it. And it irks me every time I see that happen. Sign a card. People are used to signing everything. They sign everything and it don't mean a thing anymore nowadays. We know that. A contract? What's a contract? That's nothing. Decision card? No. The Scripture says make disciples. Didn't ever ask us to come and get a decision. Make disciples. You know, once they come to the altar, if you just, "Well, brother, we hope to see you next Sunday," if that's all you do, they're gone. You've lost them. You've already lost them. They'll never be back. Because they're going to die on the vine. You're going to have to assign them to somebody. Somebody's got to be accountable for them. They're going to have to follow up on them and break your church into teams and say, "Now you get the next one that's saved, and you get the next one, and you get the next one." And it's your responsibility to go over there three times a week with the discipleship materials. And you hand it to them and you answer any questions they have. And you lead them through the Word. And the discipleship takes place there. And you bring them here and they get discipled more. And they get to hear the Word of God from your pastor and from your Sunday school teachers. And they grow and they become strong. Make disciples, and that's what we believe in doing, even in Guatemala. We're making disciples of all nations. We're going to another nation to make disciples, not just get decisions. We had been asked by a church in the town where we will be living, and their associate had asked me to bring my equipment. I've got a little generator, a little bitty Honda generator, and a video projector and a VCR. And sound equipment, and he'd asked me to bring that, and they wanted to go to a very poor area. If they say it's poor, it's really poor. It's less than $250 a year. I mean, these people have nothing. These folks, it was in an area called a barrio, and it's where the people just go in, and they take this land that's not worth hardly anything. It won't grow anything but weeds, and they just build them a house there, a little concrete block shack. And they just take it over, and the government doesn't stop them because the land's not worth anything anyway, and they're satisfied to have somebody on the land. And so they just give it to them. And so this church wanted to go over here, and they asked me to bring my equipment and show a gospel film there. And maybe we could win someone to Christ. I said, "That's great." So they came, and they got me, and they had a little old van. It used to be a school van, like a Head Start van from the United States. It was all rickety and rattly and all that good thing. But You know, when we get done with stuff, we sell it to another nation and give it to them for a while. Then they came by and got me, and there was three guys in the van, and the one guy apologized. He said, "I'm sorry, brother." He said, "It looks like that there's only going to be seven people there tonight, and four of us are in this van." I said, "You know what? God's got a better plan. God did not call us down here. He didn't call me to come 3,500 miles to lose. He called me here to make disciples. He called me here to win souls, and that's exactly what I'm going to do. And we're going to have more than seven people there tonight." You know, we got there, and there wasn't but two or three people there sitting there. We're going to show this film outside. I've got a bed sheet that I use for a screen. And so I was tying this up on the concrete block wall, and I was getting my equipment set up. And the first thing I put up is my four light bulbs that I have strung together on a wire. And I plug it into my generator. And because, you see, what happens when you turn on lights at night? I heard that it shines. What? You can see. What else? It tracks what? That's right. And you know what? In a country where they don't have any electricity, and all of a sudden there's some light bulbs shining in the middle of the nighttime, it attracts people. They come to that light just like bugs. And you know what? Before I started that film that night, there was 40 people sitting there waiting to see what was happening. God brought them in. Praise God. We started this film. It's through a VCR, you know, through the video projector. And it was a very powerful salvation film. And afterwards, we had an altar call, and nobody would respond, but we could feel the power of the Holy Spirit just dealing with hearts. We knew that He was dealing with hearts. But nobody would respond, and so finally, you can't delay all night, and so we started to put our equipment away. Then I guess the people realized that we were leaving. This might be their only chance. And these people started coming up to us, one by one, and said, "Would you pray with me?" And we began to pray with folks. And they come up one after another, after another, after another. And you know, the last man to come up, that was the one. He came up and he said, "Would you pray with me to receive Jesus Christ as my Savior right now?" And I said, "Yes." And we did. And after that man prayed through to salvation, he said, "I have some property behind my house. Would you build a church here?" And that night, we planted a church. There's a church up in Alabama, up in Phoenix City, that contacted me last year. And they said, "We've been wanting to find out who on earth had been there in Guatemala before us." Little did I know that they've got a team that's been going every year that I've been going, and they've been showing up after I was there. And they said, "We knew somebody had been there because there was all these people that had been won to Christ, but we didn't know who did it." They said, "We've been coming behind you, brother, and you didn't know it, but we've been physically building the church where you've left the people." And they built the church there, and they said, "We want to let you know that they've got a pastor and they're winning souls to Jesus Christ." That's what we're supposed to do. You see, we made disciples, we won people to Christ, and that church that asked me to come, they are making them as disciples, and now they've planted a pastor there, and now they're teaching their people the same thing, that the Great Commission is for all of us. And they believe that Jesus is coming soon, and that if they don't want their loved ones to die and go to hell, then they need to win their loved ones to Christ too. And that's exactly what they're doing. It's exciting. It's exciting. We have seen the power of God in a dramatic way. There was a woman that, you know, after a while, people get to know who you are. Because we go as ambassadors for the King. We might go as Assemblies of God missionaries. We might go because you helped send us. But we're going because, also, primarily because we're an ambassador for the King of Kings. We represent His kingdom. We represent His power and His authority. He has given us those things and expects us to do something with it. And these folks realize that we are in touch with the King of Kings. They realize that our God is more powerful than theirs. Our God will answer us. And so there was a woman that was in this village and she was dying. She had been sent home from the hospital to die. She was in her hut. And they said, "Somebody call Hermano Santiago." That's Brother James. That's me. They said, "Somebody call him and ask him to come and pray for this woman. Because he serves a God that will answer." And you know what? We weren't even in Guatemala at the time. But they got a hold of a man in this town that has a computer. They knew that he could get a hold of me somehow. They don't understand how, but they knew that he could contact me. He sends me a message here in the United States that this woman was dying and they were asking me to come and pray for her. And I said, well, we'll be down there in a week or so. We'll come down and pray. We went down. We went to her village. We got off the bus, walked down the dirt road, went down to her hut, and we went in there and she was dying. You know, the old saying, she had one foot in the grave and the other on a banana peel. She was leaving fast. She couldn't open her eyes. She couldn't acknowledge that we were there. She couldn't raise her head up. She was dying. And you know, we did everything the Scripture says to do. We laid hands on her. We anointed her. We prayed the prayer of faith. There was at least two of us there agreeing. My niece was there with me. We were agreeing on one thing. We prayed in tongues. We prayed in Spanish. We prayed in English. I mean, we got all the bases covered. And you know, I have never prayed with so much faith in all my life. I just knew that when I said amen, she was going to come up off that bed. I just knew it. And you know what? When I said amen, she didn't come up off that bed. Well, boy, that throws you back a square or two, doesn't it? Well, I guess that means that this instruction book's no good. You toss it out and find another, right? No. It's the Word of God. The Word of God is true. There's only two things that God holds you accountable for. You want to know what they are? It's real simple. I mean, you can remember two things, right? Faithfulness. Can you be faithful? And obedience. That's real easy. Be faithful and obey. That's as easy as it gets. See, I don't heal anybody. It's the power of God that heals. It's up to Him. I know that I believe. And I know that my God can heal. I know what He did in my heart. I was born with a heart condition that was supposed to get worse as I got older. You know what? When I was 5 or 6 years old, I don't remember which, God put a new heart in me. I went to heart clinic. I'd have to go every 6 months. And we went into the heart clinic on this Monday morning. I remember it as vividly as I can remember right now. And I remember those doctors running around saying, "We don't understand. It's gone. Where did it go?" That's because master physician, the great physician, did something. We serve a God who can do things. Well, I just knew she was going to be healed. Well, we left the hut. We told her mother, said, "You know, we're going to come back tomorrow. If she's better, praise God. If she's not, we're going to pray again." We came back the next day. We got off the bus, walking down the dirt road. And my niece says, "Uncle James, isn't that Marlene standing out in the yard?" That was the one we prayed for the day before. And I said, "Rachel, I think you're right." And we got up to the hut, and sure enough, Marlene is standing out in the yard. And I said, "Marlene, what happened?" And she said, "After you left yesterday, the power of God came down and touched me and healed me." I want you to know that 5 years later, she's still healed. You know, she lives in a village of 2,000 people. I wonder how many of those people in that village know what happened. Every one of them know. Every one of them know. We cannot sneak into that village. Somebody gets the word. Hermano Santiago is coming. And everybody knows. They want to see us. Because we represent the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords. There's many people in that village are not Christians, but they still want to see us because they know there's something about us. There's just something powerful there. It's the King. It's the King. He gets all the glory. Jesus gets all the glory. He did it. He did it. I was just being faithful and obedient, but He did it. He gets the credit. One last village I've got to stop. But I've just got to tell you, you've got to hear this. We were in a village for 5 days for a crusade. We've got a 500-man tent that we were using. We set it up. And the very first day, we prayed for a pastor. We went to all the pastors. It was a very small town, large village, small town. And there were 7 pastors of evangelical churches there in that town. And we went to this one pastor, and they were deathly sick. She'd been... It was a woman pastor and the way you become a woman pastor in Guatemala is that you inherit the position. Your husband was the pastor, but then your husband dies. So then the widow becomes the pastor. And so this woman was the pastor of this church. She was wrapped up in blankets. She had been sick for a really long time, and she was in her hammock. Can you imagine wrapped up in blankets in 110-degree heat? We walked in, and a family member had led us into the hut, and she said, "Praise God, I'm glad you're here." And we didn't know what she was talking about. We said, "What do you mean?" She said, "I was praying this morning and God told me that He was sending someone who would pray for me and that I would be healed today." Boy, she already had her faith working. We said, "Can we pray right now?" And she said, "Yes." We laid hands on her and she came right up out of that hammock. God healed her immediately. She had her whole congregation in the tent that night. It was wonderful. And in that 5 days that we were there, we saw 300 people give their lives to Jesus Christ. Not just give their lives to Christ, but 200 of, yeah, get my numbers mixed up here. 200 of them received the baptism of the Holy Spirit. That's a powerful move of God. One woman brought her baby. We had a medical clinic going at the same time, and in the daytime, and a woman brought her baby that was dying to the medical clinic. That baby needed attention long before she decided to bring it to our medical clinic. I don't know why. I don't know. Maybe she was depending on the Catholic priest there, who, you have to understand, it's not a true Catholic church. The Catholic church there in Guatemala very often will be a demon-possessed Maya, will be the priest. They have all kinds of mixture of worship there, Maya witchcraft and occultism. I don't know what she was depending on, why she didn't take her baby to a doctor sooner, but this baby was dying. While the nurse was listening to the baby's heart, the baby died. The nurse hollered out for all of us that were working that crusade that week, said, "Would y'all please come?" And we came in there, and the baby had already turned black and blue, and we went in, and we began to call upon the Almighty God who created heaven and earth, the one who saves our souls, the one that we believe is coming back to get us, the one that we lay our lives on. And we call upon God to answer and to make Himself known in that village. And we ask God to restore that baby to life. And you know what? God did. That baby's color came back. That baby was breathing. And God healed that child. I want you to know, you don't have to put up posters advertising when that kind of stuff is happening. That night, there was 500 people in the tent and about 1,000 people outside the tent, because they wanted to see what was going on. We saw three people dramatically delivered from demon possession. One was a young man by the name of Carlos. He was 21 years old. He was a satanic warlock. The demons would throw him on the ground and twist him up like a pretzel. I did not know the human body could do the things that the demons did to that boy's body. And you know what? That's just like the devil. He will treat you that way. He will make your life a living hell. And why anybody want to serve Him, why anybody want to hold back and not give their lives to Jesus Christ, I'll never figure out in a million years. You know, why would anybody want to serve a mean, ugly, hateful father like the devil? My Father doesn't treat me that way. I want you to know that. Well, we prayed for Carlos, and in the 5 days that we were there, we saw all these wonderful things happen to him. He was delivered. He was saved. He was filled with the baptism of the Holy Spirit. And one night, while the Holy Spirit had him laid out on the deck for about 3 hours, God called him to preach the gospel of Jesus Christ. That's what it's all about. Carlos would stand with tears running down his face, and he would beg his parents to come into the tent and be delivered too, because they were demon-possessed also. They refused, and they said, "We're not coming in there, and if you don't leave this tent, we're going to kick you out of the family. We're going to disown you." He said, "I'm not leaving." He said, "I'm free. At last, I'm free. And I'm going to keep what I've got here." They kicked him out of the family, and there was an Assemblies of God church in that little town. And they took him in, and they did what I call body ministry. Just what they should do. They took him in, they gave him a place to stay, they gave him food to eat until he could get on his own 2 feet. I went back to that town 2 years later. The pastor saw me coming. He comes running up, and he says, "Hermano Santiago, Brother James, let me tell you, the revival is still burning." He said, "We had to build our church bigger because we didn't have a place to put them all." That's what we go for. Because the Scripture says to make disciples of all nations. And we believe He means what He says. The only way that your church will grow, the only way that you're going to have sheaves, the only way you're going to have souls to lay at the Master's feet when we go to heaven and He says, "Where are they? Where are the ones I sent you to get? I gave you a commission." The only way it's going to happen is if you put legs on it. It'll never happen sitting down. Praise God. It's exciting. Boy, can you understand why I'm glad to go? I'll put up with the jaguars and the snakes and the spiders and the scorpions and whatever else is there, the bandits, the runaway buses. I didn't get to tell about that one. That's all right. But you know, we'll put up with all that stuff because God has called us to go. And He loves them as much as He loves me. He loves everyone the same. And He wants us to win them to the kingdom of God. The only way we can go is if you help us to go. We need faithful monthly partners. You know, I'm gonna tell you, I've never told anybody this, but I just got an email recently. I've not even told my wife yet. She doesn't know yet. But we had a church call us or sent me an email and said, we've had some trouble, and we're gonna drop our pledge to you. Wow. And you know, they had pledged a very sizable amount. And you know what? I don't lose any sleep over those things. But the only way we can go is if faithful people stand behind us with faithful monthly help. That's the way it works. And so we just pray that you will be touched and that you will want to stand behind us and help send us. Because unless we are sent, we can't go. That's the way it works. Let's bow our heads. Father, I thank you for your word this morning. I thank you for the patience of everyone sitting here. Lord, I just thank you that you've given us the great privilege. It's not a job. It's not a job. If we want a job, we can join the army. God, it's a privilege to carry your word. It's a privilege to carry this powerful gospel. It's a privilege to carry this word which heals people and brings people to repentance and brings life to them. It's a privilege. Lord, I thank you for allowing me this wonderful privilege. Privilege of carrying your word. God, I pray that you would light these people on fire. God, that they will mean exactly what they said when they said they saw a vision for this church, that it'll be standing room only. I agree with that. I say amen to that vision. Knowing that the vision will only work if we put legs on it and open our mouths like the word says we have to do. You've given us all we need. You've given us the power. You've given us the authority, and you've given us the commission to go. And when we take the word of life into a community that needs you, we know that we're going to see the darkness roll back. We're going to see the mighty power of God at work. Thank you, Father, for what you're going to do here in this congregation, here at Sand Hill. Thank you, Father. Thank you, Father. Burn this word into our hearts, I pray, in the name of Jesus. Amen. Amen. Thank you, Pastor.
Amen. I tell you, that's been good. That's been challenging. Amen. But right to the point. But I tell you, we got to realize there that field is white. It's ready to be picked right now. But it's going to take labor to go out into the vineyard. That's us. We've got to be labor. So if you would, let's just stand all over the building. Let's just lift our hands and thank the Lord for the words we've heard today. But I want us to do something before we start today. I want us to point our hands towards Brother James right here. And let's just say a prayer for him and his family. Lord, we thank you today, Lord, for our brother Jesus. And Lord, I pray right now, Lord, that not only will you provide, Lord, the financial support that they need, but Lord, but you'll give them the strength to carry out, Lord, that's burning in their heart, Jesus. And Lord, we thank you, Lord, for that desire that you've given them, Lord. And I pray, Lord, that you'll open up the doors that need to be opened, Lord. And Lord, make the way for them today, Jesus. And we trust in you, Lord. And Lord, I pray that fire will continue to burn, Jesus, that many souls will be added unto the kingdom, Lord. And Lord, we thank you, Lord, that he has a desire. And Lord, I pray, Lord, that this body of believers will come to that realization today, Lord, that we've got to get out, Lord. We've got to go to the highways and the byways, Lord. We've got to compel them, Lord Jesus. We've got to go out, Lord, to that harvest today. And I pray, Lord, that you'll stir our hearts as well. Lord, I pray that you'll start, Lord, with every one of us today, Jesus. Let that fire burn in our heart, Jesus. And Lord, I thank you today, Jesus, because you have given us that strength today, Lord. And Lord, I know that you'll fill our heart with the words, Lord, if we'll make that step, Lord, to go out, Jesus, to those highways and byways. And Lord, I praise you today, Jesus, for the wonderful word that we've heard today, Lord. And I pray that it will challenge every heart in this building today. And Lord, I thank you today, Jesus, that we've come to lift you up. And Lord, if there's one in this building that does not know you, I ask today, Lord, that they will give their heart to you. Lord, that they'll make their way to this altar. They'll fall down on their knees, Lord, and they'll invite you into their heart. Lord, we know, Jesus, that that's what it's all about, is to make heaven our home. What profit a man if he gained the whole world and lose his soul? Lord, he would gain nothing today, but we can gain everything by becoming, Lord, accepting you as our Savior today. I pray right now, Jesus, that Your hand would be upon us, Lord. Lord, that You would touch us today, Jesus. Lord, I pray that You would keep Your hand upon us. Lord, we just thank You for the Word, Lord, that's been spoken today. We give You praise in Jesus' wonderful name. If you need special prayer, you want to come up, let us anoint you.